That's probably not me, and if you see me repeat myself three times, you'll know what happened. No, it's just that we have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God gives that to each one of us, I think, when we are in service with Him. When I think back of our years overseas, we've actually made four international moves. My first one was when, in 1953, when I was just a young child in arms, and we immigrated from Holland. And I consider my Dutch heritage one a blessing. I just want to update you a little bit on MSC and my responsibilities there. Just last week, the fall container arrived in Zambia. So hopefully the things that are on that container will be a blessing to those who receive it. I should mention a little bit of an update. I'm not sure if you send many boxes, but we've had a problem with, because of the international scene, the Zambian customs is more, the world is becoming more of a global community, as you can well imagine. And so when we send boxes and things over to the missionary who then receives it and uses it in the ministry, when U.S. or when Zambian customs sees the name receiver on the box and then a name and then the mission station or mission station and the receiver, they think, oh, that's for an individual, that's personal, so we can charge value-added tax. That's been a bit of a problem. And so what we will be changing the new boxes as we order them. We're going to order a new batch this year before the spring containers. But if you have a box and if you fill a box, just strike out the word receiver and put simply care of. And we trust that that will at least make a better point for those in Zambia, the missionaries, to say it's not for them, it's in care of them for the local and the nationals. And so that would be a thing to remember. And so I'm letting people know as I go around that some of these changes, you might want to look at the website and maybe see a few more updates. But the world is definitely becoming more of a community, and international shipping laws and regulations are really beginning to affect us. And so we need wisdom in all of these things. This subject tonight has been on my heart a while, and it's not the first time I've spoken on it, I'll admit that. But there are two parts to this. And the first one is the calling of the believer. And the second part is the holiness of the believer. And I'm going to describe our calling according to the way the scripture calls it. There are four different areas of our calling. Three begin with an H, and one begins with a U. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, I'm going to be referring to these. You can either mark them down. If you have time to turn to them, that's fine. Hebrews 3, verse 1 simply says this: therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the, what is it, folks? Heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad you have a heavenly calling? Can't get any higher than that, can it? Can't get any more secure than that when it's with, we are hid with Christ in God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are hid with Christ in God. It's a heavenly calling. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That should be humbling to us. Before time began, before the foundations of the world, he knew he was going to call us. But it's a holy calling. Philippians 3, verse 14. Very familiar portion to you. Philippians 3, 14 simply says this: I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call, not only is it a holy, heavenly call and a holy call, it is a high calling. There is a high standard to our call that God expects. And you know one thing, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no one can live the Christian life. And the fourth one is in Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. As God is unchangeable, when he calls us, our call is irreversible or unchangeable. If you have put your faith and trust in the Savior out of genuine sincerity, you are his child and he will keep. Jesus said, I have not lost. My sheep know my voice and I know my sheep. So the goals of this calling, and there are several, but I'm just going to go through them quickly, so bear with me, and then we'll get into this, the holiness of the believer. And that is the first one. The goals is always to the glory of God. God says, I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my praise to any other. God, ways, God's nature, God's name is unchangeable. He is the God of all gods. And we heard this morning, he is still in control and he still loves you and I and can view us through his son, through righteousness. And therefore, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 says, for God did not call us to uncleanness or impurity, but in holiness or sanctification. Galatians 5, 13 says this, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We are called to freedom, freedom in Christ. And only do not use liberty for an okay. Don't turn away from it. Don't turn away from it, from the freedom that we have in Christ. So there's holiness, there's liberty. We've been called in holiness. We've been called to liberty. We've been called to peace in 1 Corinthians 7:15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart as a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. We are also called to glory and power. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We have a tremendous calling. We have a tremendous calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. It's an unchangeable calling. We are called in holiness, to liberty, to peace, by glory and power, for eternal glory. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. To which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any glory we have will all be for his glory. the works that we do, whatever we have, when we come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will fall down at his feet and worship him. He alone is worthy. It's for his eternal glory. And we are called to eternal life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." As we've made our confession through our lips and believing in our heart that God has raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been called to eternal life. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad you've been called? I remember as a child when we lived out on a dead-end street in the town of Trenton, Ontario. And, you know, we had a great time. Now, I got to tell you this. When you looked at our front door, down this way was the Trent River. There was a canal, and we used to fish there. Behind us was an overhead trestle train track bridge, and we all see the old locomotives come up that hill, and they wouldn't make it sometimes. They'd have to go back, and then their pusher engine behind it. Up the road, we had a gravel pit. We had a mountain. There was an old cannon on that, an antique cannon. They say it was Champlain, Mount Pelion, they called it. We had a gravel pit. We had a mill pond. There was everything there, a horse farm. There was a creek. I mean, we could get wet anytime we wanted. But you know what was special? When Mom called us home for supper. We had a little dog called Spotty, and sometimes we were so far away that we couldn't hear it, but Mom would blow this whistle, just like a referee's whistle. Guess who would hear it? Little dog called Spotty. And we knew it was supper time. We've been called home. One day we're going to be called home. We're going to be called to our Heavenly Father, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Are we prepared to go? Are we prepared to go? If we have salvation, we're prepared to go. But in the meantime, we need to live holy lives. Effie Marsh says this, "We have no inherent holiness. We are holy as we are possessed by the Holy Presence. We are holy in His holiness, loving in His love, strong in His strength, tender in His tenderness, patient in His patience, calm in His peace, and consecrated in His consecration. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul." Remember that song? It's only because of God's grace. It's only because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's only because our lives have been hid with Christ in God. As believers, we are in our calling. We are what? And we've alluded to this, but there is a number of things about holiness that we need to understand. I'm going to list the four of them, where we're just going to talk about them. We are elected to holiness, according to the scriptures, and we'll get into that. We are called to holiness, and we've already seen that. We are created in holiness, and we are possessed by holiness. Let's look at the first one, elected to holiness, in Romans chapter 8. Again, familiar portions of the scripture as we look at these. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And he, searching the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate, and here it is, to be conformed to the image of his Son, for him to be the firstborn among many brothers. But whom he does predestinate, these he also called. And those who he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Elected to holiness, we couldn't do it on our own. But Christ, God through his Son, gives us freely all things. We don't have the ability, don't get me wrong. We are born in sin. But oh, we become new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things have become new. We're not the same. We're not the same. There needs to be a change in our life. Have you seen some Christians supposedly who are walking this world and have no care in regards to the things of the Lord? God knows the heart. And the scripture also says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Whom the Lord loveth, and we may get into this too, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son of his. And so we are elected to holiness. Secondly, we were called to holiness, and we looked at that already. But let's look at it again. We'll read a little further. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 1. First Thessalonians 4, verse 1, for the rest then, my brothers, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For we know what commands we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, my sanctification, for you to abstain from fornication, each one of you to know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the nations who do not know God, not to go beyond and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Son, the Lord, is the avenger concerning all these. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God has not called us to uncleanness, but in sanctification. Therefore, he who despises does not despise man, but God, who also has given us his Holy Spirit. Elected to holiness, called to holiness. And next we see that we are created in holiness in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. And I would suggest you turn to this. This is going to be a little lengthy passage, a number of verses here. But you know, it doesn't matter what I say tonight. It's matter what the Lord says tonight and how he then speaks to your heart. Created in holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should not walk from now on as other nations walked, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. For they, being past feeling, have given themselves up to lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. What else did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 22, for you ought to put off the old man according to your way of living before, who is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here it is. And you should put on the new man, who according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each man speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, so that he may have something to give to him who needs. Let not any filthy word go out of your mouth. But if any is good to building up the requests, the respect of need, that it may be, give grace to the ones hearing. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let not bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and evil speaking. Let all. I read it wrong. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and even speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And so that we see that we are elected to holiness, we are called to holiness, we are created in holiness, and we are to be possessed by holiness. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. For any other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work shall be revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try each one's work as to what kind it is. If anyone's work which he built remains, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he shall be saved yet, so as by fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Think you got it all figured out? Be careful. Be careful. You know, the Jews today are mostly, except for the religious Jews, cultural Jews, they're very self-seeking, and they do things to satisfy themselves, to please themselves, whatever else. There's very little thought about the God of their fathers. Pride comes before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. So we see that we are elected to holiness, we are called to holiness, we are created in holiness, and we are to be possessed by holiness because we are the temple of God. A holy, which is holy, which you are. How is holiness exemplified in the life of the believer? How is it exemplified in the life of a believer? Well, I think there are three things. It's exemplified through our bodies, in our manner of life, and in our fruitfulness. Let's look at the scriptures and see what the Word of God says in relation to these. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 13. This is relating to holiness exemplified through our bodies. Romans 6:13, do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Let it not be, the scripture says. Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to him who you obey, whether it is sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Then, being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak in the manner of men because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members as slaves to uncleanness and to lawless act unto lawless act, even so now yield your members as slaves to righteousness unto holiness. Each one of us probably has an idea of what a holy life is really like. And might I say that it is a life of faith and obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not easy sometimes. But apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot live the Christian life. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's the other part too, where apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So we have holiness exemplified in our bodies. Sometimes I wonder, maybe we need to train and teach our young people a little more fervently through exhortation in regards to these. The way of the world is to mark their bodies up, pierce their bodies, whatever. And it's troubling sometimes. God loves the sinner, don't get me wrong. But if we only realized that our bodies are the temple of God, would we put graffiti on the temple of God? I just leave it with you. Maybe I'm old school, I don't know. But even in the principle of the Old Testament, you know, you think of the prophets of Baal where they cut themselves with knives and everything else and God took them all away. I'm not on a bandwagon here, but what are our young people doing? Secondly, there's a manner of life that should be holy, and that's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I know this is the portion of scripture that down in the Alert Training Center, and you probably know somewhat about it as some of the young people here have gone through it. This portion of scripture, the first book of Peter, is to be memorized by all of the young men in the unit, and for graduation, they say it in unison. We had two sons go through the program, and as we sat there and saw these young men, ages 17 and up, quote this scripture in unison, it does something to you. It does something to you. And if you have it and put it in your heart, God then can bring it out later. Manner of life. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has regenerated us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you by the power of God, having been kept through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, in which you greatly rejoice, yet a little while, if need be, grieving in manifold temptations. Why? So that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, but being proven through fire, might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our manner of life. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, in whom not yet seeing but believing in him you exalt with unspeakable joy and having been glorified, obtain the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, about which salvation the prophets sought out and searched out, prophesying concerning the grace for you, searching for what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ made clear within them, testifying beforehand of the suffering of Christ, the glories that should follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they ministered the things which are now reported to you by those who have preached the gospel to you in the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, being sober, perfectly hope for the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the second time it says that. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but according to. You know, when you get that little phrase, according to, it recurs many times in the scriptures. But according to the Holy One who called you, you also become holy in all conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's a tall order. I know it is. Do we ask him daily for that holiness to flow through our lives as we come in contact with others? It's not always easy. I'm the first to admit that I fail. I know what's right. Lord, help me to do what is right. Help me to do what is right. James chapter 1, or in James it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And he gives it liberally, abradeth not. I mean, you ask for it, he'll give it to you. What is wisdom? Knowing what to do and when to do it. Knowing what to say and when to say it. We heard a speaker one time said, he's a lawyer. In fact, if you'd like to look him up and see some of his messages, it's Dr. David Gibbs. And he was saying that he had a lawyer friend who, he said, you would really want him on your team when it comes to trivia, because he knew everything about trivia. But he said when it came to certain aspects, he was a good researcher lawyer, you know what I mean? And David said when it came to knowing what to do and when to do it, he would always come to me. A man who had a lot of knowledge, but didn't have a lot of wisdom in regards to that. Knowing what to do and when to do it. We need to ask God for that wisdom. Then we have fruitfulness in the believer's life. And then John chapter 15, verse 8, you knew I'd be getting to John. John chapter 15, again, begin reading at verse 1, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you, said the Lord. Says Jesus Christ. This is his. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Zippo. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather and cast them into the fire and they are burned. And the Lord says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. In this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Do you know that that's the only time in the scripture says, in this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit to us? And then he adds, so you shall be my disciples. What glorifies God? What glorifies God? Living a holy life, a fruitful life. And he doesn't leave us there. He says he's the vine dresser. And he prunes us. He takes away those branches that are basically good for nothing. And he prunes us so that we would bear more fruit and much fruit. Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? Have you ever been pruned? Ever been chastised? Oh, he does it for our precious benefit, more so than our earthly fathers. There are several reasons for holiness in a believer's life, and I'm going to give them to you. We don't have a lot of time left. The reasons for holiness in a believer's life is because God is holy. That's number one. It's because of God's mercies. That's number two. It's because of Christ's love for us. It's because the world is coming to an end. It's because there is no heaven without holiness. It's not our holiness, not our righteousness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What is God's means of producing holiness in our life? Or sanctification in our life? There are three things. There is the word, there is chastisement, and there is grace. Let me just read a little bit of each portion in regards to the word, and then we're going to finish. The word, Christ prays to the Father for you and I in John chapter 17. That's his prayer. Verse 11, and now I am in the world no longer, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one as we are. It's the word. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those that you have given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Verse 15, I do not pray for you to take them out of the world, but for you to keep them from the evil. Sanctify them, verse 17, through your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent them into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And I sanctify myself for their sake, so that they also might be sanctified in truth. And so God produces holiness in our lives through his word, through chastisement. We find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? And as you go through that particular portion, Verse 11, the chastening for the present does not seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. Follow peace with all, verse 14, and holiness, without no one shall see the Lord. And finally, grace. Aren't you glad for God's grace? Wow. Grace is what God uses to produce holiness in the believer. Let's turn to this. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read this and we're going to finish with this. Titus chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Yes, we've heard these things before. But oh, in the day and age that we live, how much more do we need the Lord in our lives, the boldness in our lives? Titus 2, verse 1, but you speak the things which become sound doctrine, aged men to be temperate, sensible, discreet, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Let the aged woman likewise be in reverent behavior, not slanderers, not enslaved by much wine, teachers of good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort young men to be discreet in all things, having shown yourself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, purity, sensibleness, without corruption, in sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he who is opposed may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Slaves are to be obedient to their masters, to please them well in all things, not talking back, not stealing, but showing all good faith, so that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. How many times does that little phrase come out? In all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that having denied ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live discreetly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking to that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a special people zealous of good works. Holiness for the believer. Are we prepared? Are we yielded to the Spirit of God? And I'm speaking to myself, probably more than to you. Oh, how I need that revival in my own heart. We're living in a day and age when we still have that window of opportunity. Let's live for him. Remember years ago when I was in Calvinist Cadet Corps, some of you might know what that is. The theme song was Living for Jesus, a Life That Is True. Okay, keep going. Glad-hearted and true. Glad-hearted and free. Blessing for me. That's it. I knew it would come out. And you know something? The truth is in God's word. Let's yield to him. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word. It's not what I say, but it's what your Holy Spirit says to each one of us. May your word come into our hearts and into our minds and into our lives and effect change for your honor and your glory. And Lord, that we would be faithful servants not only of your word, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word, the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.